As we approach our gospel reading today, which is the basis for our message, it's good to look back and situate it in our other two readings today as the themes run together, the thread of the Holy Spirit tying us together as one. In our Old Testament reading, we have the prophet Ezekiel who can expect others take offense and hardship. And in our second reading, we have the apostle Paul who boasts not in his strengths, but in his weaknesses and in his struggles in living out the message of Jesus. Our gospel reading today has two parts, marveling at unbelief and moving on anyway with the gospel of Jesus. We moved on from the first reading, the power of the message, to our second reading, and now to our third. The message keeps going. In Mark chapter 6, we find Jesus returning to his hometown. Jesus, the famous rabbi and miracle worker, is coming back to Nazareth. So we'll look today at these two parts, marveling at unbelief and moving on anyway with the message. For someone Jesus' age, if you think about where he is in his life in Mark chapter 6, he's around 30. Coming home means being seen, if you still are able to come home with parents at 30, like the kid who grew up in the neighborhood. Maybe Mary had little marks on the wall to see how high Jesus has grown. Everyone can see it. It's still back there. You're still the kid. Jesus teaches in the synagogue like the rabbi. He's preaching here at church, you could say. And the response is a little predictable. People actually wonder, who does this guy think he is? And if you look at what they say, it's interesting because they're looking at what they know Jesus has been. What's this wisdom given to him? Where'd he go off to school and learn this? How are such mighty works done by his hands? It doesn't work that way. Isn't this the carpenter's son, the son of Mary, the brother of James? Are not his sisters here with us? And what does it say? They took offense at him because he has done better than everyone else. Who does this guy think he is? He should be back there in the back row just like everyone else. You might have heard the expression, right? Overfamiliarity breeds contempt. Meaning the more familiar we are with someone or something, the more we take it for granted, the more we ignore it altogether. There's a temptation here. There's a warning for us as Christians in our gospel reading today. Don't become too familiar with Jesus. Yes, Jesus is the familiar Savior. And given the informality of our culture, right, he's our best friend forever. And this is true. We always have a friend in Jesus, all our sins and griefs to bear. But Jesus is our friend. Why? Because he's more than a friend. He bears our sins and griefs. He is the Savior, the Son of God, sent from heaven to earth. And there are moments, right, in Jesus' earthly ministry where the disciples catch a glimpse of this. Jesus is not just that teacher they're with for 3 years in class, with him walking around the way. They see him as Lord. What happens? Walking on water. They're terrified, transfigured on the mountain. They don't know what to do. Risen from the dead in Mark's gospel, they don't say anything to anyone because they're afraid. They're scared out of their minds. Who does this guy think he is? Jesus is our friend because he is Lord and Savior of all, and it takes a long time for the disciples to get that. In whom all things in the universe, it says in the book of Colossians, all things in the universe, it says, hold together in Jesus. Jesus is cosmic, and he's near. He's transcendent and close. He's one in faith and distant in power. How then not to make Jesus too familiar? I think our gospel reading maybe poses a test for us to try and see if Jesus is too familiar, just like he was in his hometown of Nazareth, not to be too hard on those hometown people. Who does this guy think he is? Here's a little test we can do. Do we think we know enough about Jesus? If yes, he's too familiar. After all, the New Testament book in Ephesians, you can just go to Ephesians chapter 1 and realize how much we don't understand. His wonderful ways of uniting heaven and earth in Jesus. Marvel and think about that. That should give us pause to ponder. If we have trouble connecting our thoughts to Jesus, or even sometimes our wallets to God, our thoughts and actions, how are we going to see Jesus holding all things together? Here's another test. Do we think Jesus offers good advice that we should sort of take into consideration, like sort of what pops up on my phone? The Word of God, Jesus, is then kind of at our level, scrolling through. We decide what we like and don't like. It's kind of what you have in Nazareth in our gospel reading. Instead, our lives are under the authority of Scripture, God's Word. Jesus is not side by side, but He's above. He's beyond, and He's also down with us. God's Word is our authority and power, and it does much more than give advice. It actually leads us on the way. It shows us the way. It opens the door of blessing. Any family member, right, if we're honest, knows that it's way too easy to fall into loops, you know, loops and labels. Loops like you always say this, or labels, you always do that. This is not helpful. This is not what Christ wants for us. And it's interesting that Christ himself fell into a loop and a label in Nazareth. He knows what he's talking about. He fell into a loop of being a carpenter's son, the label of the son of Mary, the brother of James and all that. But Jesus is way more than that. And in Jesus, we're way more than that, aren't we? We're not labels. We're not stuck in loops. We're walking in the way of the Lord. We are in Christ. We're a new creation, sons and daughters of God. Our identity is in Christ. Nothing is impossible for God or for us in faith in Christ. And if that's true for us, God doesn't want us to get stuck labeling or looping others. To be freed, He wants us from the brokenness of the past in Jesus the Savior, to be open to new possibilities of the Spirit. And that's exactly the pattern that we see in our gospel reading, where Jesus is kind of stuck in this loop and label in the minds of his hometown. And what does he do? He marvels at the unbelief and he moves on anyway, breaking those loops and labels with authority to heal and his power. In our gospel reading, Jesus just marvels, it says. Marvels. Sort of like wonder at the unbelief of his hometown. Like, what's up? And I suppose we could certainly marvel all around us too at the unbelief that's always there. But Jesus doesn't stop there. Our gospel reading, Jesus marvels at the unbelief, leading hopefully to humility for us. We never want to get too comfortable with Jesus, think we're on the same level. Humility to see ourselves in relation to Jesus. But the marveling turns into the movement of Jesus. It's good to daily marvel and wonder how Jesus even loves us, how he is our Savior and Lord in spite of ourselves. To marvel, to daily confess that Jesus is our Lord and leads us. So what does Jesus do in our reading? He moves on. He actually gives Christians authority over unclean spirits, over all that would hinder and keep us from forgiveness and peace in God's Word. Could look at it that way. Jesus doesn't just stay marveling, he moves on with his mission. Marveling and moving with Jesus. In our gospel reading, Jesus marvels at the unbelief of his hometown. He carries on anyway with his mission to seek and save the lost. And he sends out his disciples with nothing but God's word, authority over evil. No food, no bag, no money. Just the word of God, authority over sin and the power of the devil. And I think in the context of the reading, authority over labels and loops that others impose on us or that we feel ashamed and burdened by. He wants to free us and others of all of that and connect us clearly to God's power to heal and to save. And what's interesting too is that Jesus marvels and gives this authority to his disciples. He gives this power to us as Christians. Marveling, right? Do we believe that we have that kind of authority? Too comfortable with Jesus to acknowledge it or even use it sometimes? this knowledge of divine mysteries, this power to change lives. And it starts by simply not seeing each other as labels, but to forgive one another, to be forgiven, to have mercy. Do we trust in God alone to face every struggle and temptation of life? Jesus makes the point by telling them to take nothing, not to lean or stumble on our own power and authority. Jesus gives the authority in his word. And in Jesus, God's word, we have that power of eternal life. The power is ours through faith in Christ. Marveling at unbelief, Jesus moves on anyway with God's grace. And as I reflected on this week, that's pretty much the message of the entire Bible. Marveling at unbelief of Adam and Eve, God moves on anyway with the promise of a Savior. Marveling at the unbelief of Abraham and Sarah, God moves on anyway with the birth of Isaac. Marveling at the unbelief of the people of Israel, God moves on anyway with the little scrawny kid David with a few stones against the giant Goliath. I could go on. Marveling at the unbelief in exile, God gives Daniel and Esther and power and might. Marveling at the unbelief even in his hometown, in labels and loops, God gives Jesus Christ, sent from heaven to earth, to move on with the message of God's power to seek and to save. Marveling at the unbelief in New York City, in our culture, in our society, what does God give us? What does God instill in us? His authority, his power to forgive, to be renewed, to have mercy and compassion. Our authority is not found in our virtues or our even our successes or our failures or our efforts. Our authority and power and strength as Christians is in Jesus, the Word of God. The Word of God changes lives just as it did in the Gospel, forgives and strengthens and loves and extends mercy. It's patient. As it says in our second reading, it teaches even the great apostle Paul that he is only the strongest when he is the weakest, for God's grace is sufficient for him and for us. Marveling and moving in Jesus. And to apply that to our own lives, to marvel at our own sin, it's there, and to marvel that Jesus somehow forgives it anyway. To marvel in humility on our knees to receive Jesus who tells us to get on up and serve him. To show and live the authority of Jesus because we bear that authority. Jesus is the author of my salvation and yours. And he's the author of the authority that he gives that we live for others. We bear that in our very lives. We show the power of Jesus in us, for us, with us. If he could save me, he could certainly save you and he could save others. This power of Jesus is our authority. It doesn't rest on anything we do, but what he does. And it's marvelous. And what's something marvelous, right, that we can do to show that, to marvel at that? I just came up with some quick ideas you could do, right? Just a quick list. Marvel. Instead of marveling at that text, what are they trying to say? Why am I getting that now? Text that friend and that loved one who needs a prayer. Remind them that Jesus has the authority over this. Go on and be patient at work this week. Try it out. It works wonders. Forgive a colleague who you marvel at that they don't change. How about you change? Get on out there and really listen to a loved one. Don't label them, just like the hometown of Jesus, a carpenter's son. See them as a son of God, as a daughter of God. Jesus will do it through you. You will marvel at the power of Jesus to change. It is marvelous. It does move. It does transform. You know, the word familiar, right? What's it related to in English? It's related to family. In our gospel reading today from Mark, we see how Jesus' own family, familiar, his hometown, too familiar with him. And it reminds us that no one is born a Christian. It doesn't work that way. It's not from mom and dad. They help, but we are made Christians. We're baptized into Christ. We are made disciples by learning and following the teachings of Christ. Mom and dad are certainly an important part of that, but faith has to be our own. We remember then that we are family in Christ, sons and daughters of God, in a wonderful adopted way, sisters and brothers in Christ. And this family then is always open to more movement, always open to more surprises instead of labels of God's grace, that God can save and forgive and inspire even me than he can you, and he certainly can others, being made more like Jesus each day. That's the goal. For the love and mercy of Jesus to be marvelous through us. It's a marvel to be saved, to be made a disciple of Jesus. It's a movement that knows no boundaries, no cultural limitations. Every language is welcome. There are no stopping it. For with God, anything is possible. And our gospel reading asks us today, in a world of unbelief and indifference, do we believe the impossible can be possible again? Amen.